This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Randy Abrams-Karas, Senior Campaign Director, and Erica Schrader, Science Director for the Washington Toxics Coalition. Erica and Randy are here today to tell us about flame retardant transfers from U.S. households, dust and laundry wastewater, to the aquatic environment, a report authored by Erica Schrader and Mark J. LaGuardia and published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. Randy and Erica will also discuss plans to address toxics in the upcoming 2015 Washington State Legislative Session, including the Toxic Free Kids and Families Act and Governor Inslee's proposed toxics reduction package. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you, Dan.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Washington Toxics Coalition?
We are a coalition of healthcare organizations, faith organizations, firefighters, and environmental groups that address toxic chemicals in our everyday products and how to get rid of them, provide for a healthier future for everybody, for people, and for the environment.
Would you now give us a brief overview of Washington state policies and laws regarding toxics, including their effectiveness and areas for improvement?
Washington is really a leader in the country. We've seen, it seems like, almost a generation of inaction at the federal level, but we keep moving forward in Washington state. We were among the first states to ban PBDE flame retardants that were shown to cause cancer. They build up in bodies. They were found in human breast milk and in orcas. And the recent sad story of the orca washing up in British Columbia, there have been some hints that it's perhaps related to some toxic chemicals. But we don't know for sure yet. We have to wait. But we've been a leader. We were among the first, as I said, to ban PBDE flame retardants, which led to a national phase out and then a national ban of that chemical. And we've seen reductions of it showing up now because of that. We were the first state to pass the Children's Safe Products Act, which requires manufacturers of children's toys and products, all kinds of products, to report what kinds of chemicals they're using in those products from a list of 66 chemicals that are proven harmful to children. So we have now a good year of reporting from manufacturers about what chemicals they're using, and that guides us in how we move forward with our work in banning chemicals and getting to safer alternatives. And we also were one of the first states to ban BPA in baby bottles and sippy cups and sports bottles. Those are hormone disruptors causing all sorts of problems in children and in adults. So we have a proud history and track record in this state, and we want to keep going with passing the Toxic Free Kids and Families Act, which will specifically address toxic flame retardants, which we find in furniture and in children's products, anything with foam, so in your children's car seats or breastfeeding pillows, nursing pillows, and in our sofa. So like if you sit, if you have a sofa, you're exposed to these toxic flame retardants most likely. And Erica can talk a lot about what they do, how they get out, and all of that. But the Toxic Free Kids and Families Act has passed the House. Last year, it passed the House in Olympia with a vote of 72-25. A significant number of Republicans voted for it, seeing this as the opportunity to really control what goes into our bodies and our homes and how to protect our families. And it stalled in the Senate, but we have hope that this is our year. The big part of that bill is that the Department of Ecology will have the authority to shut the door on future toxic flame retardants. So the bill bans the toxic flame retardants we see being used now and prevents the chemical industry from coming in to use equally bad or worse chemicals in the future. And that's the banning authority that we want to see the Department of Ecology and Department of Health have to make those decisions.
Erica, would you now tell us about your study? What was the goal and what question were you trying to answer?
Well, as Randy said, these flame retardants, we know that they're used in our furniture, they're used in other places in our homes like electronics. and insulation. So these are compounds that are used at fairly high concentrations in our homes. And we knew that they were escaping from those products, getting into our air and our household dust. And then we also knew that they were showing up in our waterways because we were finding them in sediment, in fish, in, you know, fish like salmon, in our orcas. But what we didn't know is how were they moving from one place to the other. So again, these are products that are used indoors, and yet the chemicals were being found out of doors in our waterways and in our fish and wildlife. So what we wanted to do was see if we could trace the path from the actual use in the product to the waterway. And the idea that we had was that, as I said, we knew that they were escaping from the products and getting into our air and dust. So the idea we had was that, well, what if they're accumulating on our clothing, and then when we do the laundry, they're coming off in the water, and then that laundry water goes to wastewater treatment plants, and then eventually into Puget Sound, Columbia River, and other waterways. So what we did is we recruited 20 households. And we were particularly interested for this study in looking at communities that were near the Columbia River and homes that were sending their wastewater to treatment plants that were then discharging to the Columbia. So we recruited 20 households in Longview and Vancouver, Washington. And in each of those households, we took a house dust sample with our specially outfitted vacuum, and then also asked the participants to put together a load of laundry of clothes worn primarily around the home. So we wanted to, you know, clothes that would have been accumulating flame retardants from the dust in the home. We asked them to do laundry, and then we, in the middle of the cycle, basically after the agitation cycle, we took a water sample, and we sent those samples to partner chemist from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, Mark LaGuardia, and had them analyzed for a suite of 22 different flame retardants. So as Randy was mentioning, we were the first state here to phase out the PBDE flame retardants, which were being found in breast milk and salmon and orcas. But unfortunately, when those compounds were phased out, the manufacturers didn't then turn to either non-chemical alternatives or safer chemicals. And instead, what they did was they turned to some older chemicals, in some cases, that were already known to be mutagenic. So what we've ended up with is that the replacements for the PBDEs are cancer-causing chemicals like the chlorinated TRIS compounds or hormone disruptors like the ones known as Firemaster. So we wanted to look at the whole suite of flame retardants, you know, look for both the PBDEs as well as some of the compounds that have come in to replace them.
And I just wanted to add to what Erica was saying is that TRIS was removed from children's pajamas back in the 70s because it was shown to be carcinogenic. So we thought it was gone, but then it's been showing up in furniture. So it was bad in pajamas, but suddenly it's okay in furniture. Not okay.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Randy Abrams-Karras, Senior Campaign Director, and Erica Schrader, Science Director for the Washington Toxics Coalition. Our topic is how toxic flame retardants pollute our waterways and plans to address toxics in the 2015 Washington State Legislative Session. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you say more about why toxic flame retardants are a problem?
So we were interested in looking at flame retardants, not only because we were finding them in the environment and in breast milk, but we know that they're some of the toxic chemicals that are used in some of the largest quantities in our homes. So these are chemicals that are used not in the, you know, parts per billion or even parts per million, but they're found in our products at percent levels. So, for example, a television plastic casing could have 10 to 15% flame retardants in it. And a couch could have up to 5% flame retardants in the foam. So these are, you know, large quantities of these toxic chemicals in our homes, and that's why we were interested in looking at them. And as I was mentioning, instead of moving to safer compounds, we have this whole new crop of flame retardants that are being used that have other toxic properties like carcinogenicity or their disrupting hormones.
Would you say more about the health effects and what's known about those?
Sure. Well, the compounds that we found in the greatest quantities in the household dust and in the laundry water are known as the TRIS compounds. So these are chlorinated organophosphates, and the one that's most well known, chlorinated TRIS, was the one that was used in children's pajamas in the 70s and then removed after it was found to be a mutagen. So there are three different TRIS compounds that we tested for. Two of them have been classified as carcinogens. One of them is also considered a neurotoxicant, toxic to the nervous system, as well as reproductive toxicant. So these are chemicals that have a lot of problems and unfortunately are being used in high quantities in our homes.
Would you now summarize your result?
Sure. So in the house dust, we found a total of 21 different compounds. So, you know, all but one of the ones that we tested for. And then in the laundry water, we found 18 of those same compounds. So we found that indeed we are seeing a transfer from the flame retardants in the products to the laundry water. So it looks like clothing is a significant carrier of these compounds from the home to outside the home because we are seeing them in the laundry water. One thing that was really interesting is that we saw somewhat different flame retardants in the laundry water. And what we found was that the TRIS compounds, which are more soluble in water, showed up more in the laundry water. So it's a pathway that's kind of favoring those chemicals because of their properties. And then we also were able to test two wastewater treatment plants. We tested the influent going into the plant and then the effluent going out. And what we found was that for some of these compounds, particularly the TRIS compounds, there's basically nothing happening at the plant. So they're leaving the plant at the same concentrations that they're entering the plant.
And then how much contamination then ends up in waterways?
Well, based on the levels that we saw in the effluent, we estimated that hundreds of pounds are going into the Columbia River from a single wastewater treatment plant. So it's a very significant amount. And, you know, we looked at how much would that be if you're looking at all treatment plants in the U.S.? And it would be over 1 million pounds if the levels that we saw were typical. So these are amounts that are up to about 4% of the chemical's annual production. So a very significant amount of the chemical that's in use is actually going right out the pipe into our waterways.
And what are the implications for human health and for the environment?
Well, in some cases, we need to be concerned about our drinking water because some of these waterways are going to be used for drinking water after, you know, downstream of a treatment plant. But then there are also concerns for fish and wildlife when we're putting this amount of toxic chemicals into our waterways.
What can individuals do themselves to help prevent this contamination?
Well, there are two different kinds of things individuals can do. One, of course, most importantly with flame retardants is to become active and support the Toxic-Free Kids and Families Act because, you know, unfortunately, this is one area where it's difficult to prevent these products from coming into your home because they're not on the label and it's hard to know whether a certain product has a flame retardant or not. So really the best thing we can do is to make sure that this legislation passes. In terms of what an individual can do, there are some things you can do. There are now a few retailers that are selling flame retardant-free furniture because of some changes in the flammability regulations in California. Several retailers have come out and said that their furniture is now flame retardant-free. So it's becoming easier to find flame retardant-free furniture. With electronics, it's a little bit harder, and you need to do some research to figure out which manufacturers are making better choices.
Let's now talk in more detail about the Toxic-Free Kids and Families Act, one of the political steps to take to deal with this problem. You mentioned this earlier, but could you underscore again the content of the act or what you're hoping the content will be in the next legislative session?
Sure. The act does two really important things. One is that it bans the use of flame retardants that have already been designated as harmful to children in children's products and furniture. So these are two areas where we know that flame retardants aren't needed for fire safety because furniture can be made fire safe without the use of flame retardants, as can children's products. So what it does is it ends the use of flame retardants that have already been found to be harmful to children. And the other important thing it does is try and stop the toxic treadmill, as we call it, of, you know, just switching out one harmful chemical for the next harmful chemical. So it would then give the Department of Ecology authority to add chemicals to that list of compounds that can no longer be used.
Would you again mention the challenges in previous efforts to pass the Toxic-Free Kids and Families Act?
I think that in the beginning, the challenges were, and still continue to be, a very well-funded opposition, being the chemical industry. They were very out front and in the open a number of years back. And you may recall a Dr. Heimbach, who was a burn doctor out of Harborview, who was on the chemical industry's payroll going around making up stories about burn victims and how important flame retardants are in furniture. it turned out that he fabricated the stories in several states. Then the chemical industry was caught doing that, and they backed away from that. They're very well funded. So they use their influence in other ways, by contributing to campaigns, by getting the Association of Washington Business to oppose the legislation. So we have a well-funded opposition with a lot of supporters, because they can just make things up and say, this will kill jobs, or it's not necessary, or we don't think that a state department should have regulatory authority or banning authority. And this, it's sort of a rallying point for some members of the legislature, or they need a more predictable business environment. And sometimes they just say the word and then we have opposition. So we have a well-funded opposition that has been there every step of the way. And one of the large toxic flame retardant manufacturers is fighting even changing flame standards every step of the way in California. They are not going away, and they're talking about how important flame retardants are in furniture. And people just want to keep their families safe. So they say, well, flame retardants, those are good, right? I want those in my furniture. But as Erica said, there are other ways to be fire safe without chemical flame retardants.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Randy Abrams-Kara, Senior Campaign Director, and Erica Schrader, Science Director for the Washington Toxics Coalition. Our topic is how toxic flame retardants pollute our waterways and plans to address toxics in the 2015 Washington State legislative session. What is the environment for passage of the bill likely to be like in the upcoming session?
Challenging. So we still have a lot of support in the House, and we're hoping that our bipartisan support in the House will translate into the same thing in the Senate. But we have had our challenges in the Senate. Now, with a clear Republican majority in the Senate and not the majority coalition caucus, they may feel that there's a better environment to do something about flame retardants. And that's what we're hoping, is that without trying to keep a fragile coalition together, they might loosen up their regulations on what passes the test. Because I think more people will agree that these flame retardants, where there is at least 10, 20 years of science on, we know about them. And we keep producing more. You know, our most recent peer-reviewed study, Homes to Waters, is just another study. These are not going away. They're accumulating in our bodies, in our water. They are linked to adverse health outcomes. We can do something about it, just as we did with PBDEs. Now is the next generation, and we want to do something positive for the future, and we have that power right now to do that. So we're hoping that the bipartisan support we have in the House will carry over to the Senate, and we have more advocates, more champions that we're building on both sides of the aisle in the Senate. So we're hoping that they will find their voice to push this on the agenda.
One of the reasons that we have the bipartisan support for this bill is because members of our legislature on both sides of the aisle are concerned about the health and welfare of firefighters. And what we see now is that firefighters have elevated cancer rates in a number of different cancers that they believe to be a result of occupational exposures. And, you know, because flame retardants are compounds that are used in such high levels in our homes, firefighters are really concerned that they are adding significantly to their toxic burden and leading to these high cancer rates. And so firefighters have been very strong in supporting this legislation. And, you know, a lot of our legislators are really concerned about their health. Whether they're Republican or Democrat, they're working with us on this bill.
Would you say more about the groups that are in favor of the bill?
Well, we work with the pediatricians, the firefighters, of course, Washington State Nurses Association, Earth Ministry, Latino Community Fund, Planned Parenthood, Arc of Washington. We love Arc of Washington. They work on developmental disabilities issues, and they've become concerned about the rising level of chemicals and the new information that sees possible links to environmental exposure to certain chemicals and developmental disabilities. So we have a strong coalition of health and environmental groups that are concerned.
Would you now tell us about Governor Inslee's proposed toxic reduction package? What is being proposed?
Well, this is pretty exciting. The governor is concerned about the next generation, about kids and kids' health, not just how they're educated, but about what's going into their bodies and what's going into our bodies and what's going into our water and what are we eating from that water and all of that. So he proposed a toxics reduction package that will establish a process to identify priority chemicals for action based on work that's already been done.
The draft bill actually creates a process for creating a longer list of compounds, and then those will be prioritized for action. And the way that'll work is that the Department of Ecology would then do two chemical action plans per year, looking at how these compounds are used, which uses are resulting in exposure to people as well as waterways, and then what can be done to reduce these uses and what restrictions should be put in place.
And assess whether there are safer alternatives and move to the safer alternatives if possible. So the governor has been really big on phthalates, which are endocrine disruptors. They're plasticizers. We see them in toys, and they help perfume stick to you.
They're fragrance carriers, yeah.
They're fragrance carriers, and we see them in moisturizer, personal care products, and they are endocrine disruptors. So the governor has been serious about doing something about that. The exciting part of this legislation is that it gets to the source of the chemicals, that we're not doing cleanup. We're actually going to stop them before we have to clean them up. We think it's visionary. We think that it's reasonable and that there will be positive health outcomes for all of us because of this.
How receptive is business to Governor Inslee's toxic reduction package?
It depends on what business you talk to. I've heard mixed reviews. I've spoken to different folks who are saying we're monitoring it, we haven't seen language yet. So they're grumbling and waiting, and I think there will be some horse trading going on, which is how things work in Olympia. I don't know what different businesses will want in return for supporting this, and I don't know how the governor will manage that, but it's the governor's bill, so the governor is responsible for that part. We think that it's reasonable and visionary. I think that there should be more chemical action plans rather than two per year, but we're starting out in one place. We'll see, and it will all be in negotiations, but we think that together with the Toxic Free Kids and Families Act, this can create a real national model and make a difference in the health for all of us and especially for future generations.
What are your thoughts on the chances for the toxic reduction package actually getting passed in the legislature?
I think that we're going to do our best to get it passed, but we work in a biennial cycle. So it might be a two-year bill. It might not pass this session, but it will remain alive for the next session. Maybe we pass Toxic Free Kids and Families Act. But we see them as a good package and see no reason why the legislature can't do them both this year. But it will all come down to who wants what for what, to be completely realistic about the legislative process. But you never know, stranger things have happened.
Would you touch just briefly on the chances for addressing toxics at the federal level?
I am not hopeful. I'm hopeful that maybe we'll be able to hold off some bad stuff. And it's possible that we know that everybody knows, right, left, center, all know that we have to reform the Toxic Substances Control Act, TSCA. So something has to be done, and it's been worked on for years in different forms. So it's possible that we will do something on that, but I'm not very hopeful, I have to say. Senator Schumer introduced a wonderful flame retardants bill, I think in October or November, and I'm not sure that we'll even get a hearing, especially given who's chairing the Senate committee in the new session. I just heard on my way in that I think there's a budget agreement, so we won't have a government shutdown. And then they're gone, I think, until the new session of Congress. And so not terribly hopeful that we'll move forward, but I'm hopeful that we won't move backward.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
That this matters, that they can make a difference, that even though our opposition is well-funded and well-staffed, we have the truth and people power on our side. But we need people. We need people to communicate with our legislators. We need people to communicate with us. And we can find different ways for people to get involved. If you don't know your legislator, you can go to the legislature's website, leg.wa.gov, leg.wa.gov, and find out. It's a really easy website to use. You can go to our website and we can help you get yourself armed with information. You can, in addition to calling your legislators and saying you support the Toxic Free Kids and Families Act and the governor's toxics reduction package, you can also demand from retailers that you want products that are free of toxic flame retardants. When you go shopping for a new sofa or, you know, children's products, you can ask the questions and say it matters. And that makes a difference, too.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You were just listening to Randy Abrams-Karas, Senior Campaign Director, and Erica Schrader, Science Director for the Washington Toxics Coalition. For more information, check on the web at watoxics.org. Again, that's watoxics.org. The Sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM and kexp.org.